Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Flames Talk on a Wednesday, May 28th with Logan Gordon. My name is Pat Steinberg from our Groundworks downtown studio, and really looking forward to this next chat. We get the opportunity to chat with Scott Wheeler of The Athletic a couple times a year on Flames Talk, and last time we spoke with him was in January when Scott was going through his prospects rankings for all 32 NHL teams. The Flames ranked 13th, and we went through why 13th and why player X was here or player Y was there. And now, a month from the NHL draft, seems like a perfect time to catch up with Scott Wheeler from The Athletic again. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Scott, it's Pat and Logan. Really appreciate the time on this Wednesday. How we doing?
We're doing well. You've interrupted my Madagascar movie night with the kids here, so that's a big deal at this house tonight.
Okay, we got
a rainy day. A rainy day here in Toronto, and they demanded Madagascar. So here we are.
That sounds like a good early evening. I like that. Okay, well we'll try to make the interruption worth your while. How's prep coming? We're a month from the draft. How's your final prep going for your rankings and everything you do prior to a draft every year?
Yeah, the prep is just about done, frankly. My top 100, my final top 100 for the draft is finished. It's been finished for about a week. That'll be out June 2nd, okay, which is next Monday. So they've put together the art for it and the draft board for it and all the pageantry that comes along with that particular piece of content. And it's just sitting there now waiting to be released. I'll head off a few days after. Next Wednesday, I'll be off to Buffalo for the scouting combine, and I'll spend sort of the week in Buffalo, and I'll refine the list maybe a little bit after that, following some conversations with agents and scouts and staff and seeing some of the results from the physical testing and all of that. There's always maybe a minor tweak or two, but I think if you're making any hard and fast determinations around the combine, you probably haven't done enough homework to get to that point in the first place. So I try to treat the combine like an experience to sort of pin down my mock draft maybe a little bit more, get a sense for where teams are leaning, more so than really having to learn about any of these players. That work is done already.
Well, and we'll dive into the 2025 draft class here in just a few minutes, but the last time we had you on this program was in January, and your prospects rankings came out, and we were going through your top 10 Flames prospects and you know why certain players were ranked where they were, and understandably and not surprisingly, you had Zane Parekh at that time ranked number one on the Flames list, and since that time, he just continued an incredible season in the OHL, made his NHL debut in April, and even went and had a little Team Canada experience at the World Championship. I guess, how much more bullish, how much more excited about Parekh are you here in late May compared to late January?
Well, certainly hard to be much more excited on Zane Parekh than I already was. I've had Zane Parekh in the top five on my list last year when he was drafted ninth overall by the Flames, and have been a huge sort of defender of him, and particularly his ability to defend. It was a common cause of criticism, and we talked about the reasons for that and some of the lackadaisical posture and some of the discipline issues that he's had over the years the last time I was on, but I've always thought that he was a higher level defender than people gave him credit for. He played 30 minutes a night on a team that won the Memorial Cup a year ago. He's a go-to penalty killer for that team. I think he's got a great stick. A lot of reasons that I like him defensively, but offensively, what we saw in the second half, I think, was what we expected to see. He actually, when we were talking in January, had been off in the fall to a bit of a slow start. He'd spoken publicly and candidly about his short off season with the Memorial Cup and then right into development camps and the draft and not really getting any time to get home and get settled and train and skate with his skating coach and that side of it. And I think he was disappointed coming out of that in the camp that he had with the Flames in the fall, and disappointed even coming out of the camp that he had with the Flames in the fall in his fall in the OHL, and then in his play at selection camp when he was invited to participate in selection camp as a late add for Team Canada ahead of the World Juniors, and had a couple of just okay games there that didn't really earn his way onto the team. And coming out of that, he was brilliant. I mean, he was the top offensive defenseman in not just the OHL, but the whole of the CHL. He was one of the top offensive threats, I would argue, in the whole of the CHL in the second half. And he just kept making play after play after play after play, and 3 and 4 points a night often in stretches. And it was a really, really impressive run. That team wasn't the team, obviously, that he had a year ago that won the Memorial Cup. They didn't have the star power, but they still had Michael Misa, and they got Igor Chernyshov in the second half, and overager Christian Epperson had a really strong season statistically playing alongside Misa and Chernyshov. And that allowed Zane, especially on the power play, to really click with those guys. There was enough talent around him where his talent could really flourish. And he looked dynamic. He looked like a star, high-end, A-grade prospect. And I think that's what he is. I think he's one of the bright young players in the sport. I think he's going to be one of the top offensive defensemen in the NHL throughout the prime of his career. And I think Flames fans should be really excited about the impact that he could have on their organization. And not just the impact in terms of the game and the offense and the power play, but also just a bit of a swagger to him. He's got a little bit of a kind of like Nazem Kadri, frankly, a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, a little bit of swagger to him that I think plays well in a locker room these days. So I think he'll bring a little bit of that, and he's going to come with the odd cross check and the odd undisciplined penalty. I think he'll likely get suspended maybe a time or two over the course of his NHL career, like he has in junior. But I think that's a huge part of his identity, and he needs to play that way. He needs to be, it was the talking point for a long time was that he needed to be more competitive, and he needed to show up shift after shift after shift, especially defensively. And I think he's going to answer that pretty emphatically, and he knows what he needs to be and trusts in his offense and wants to go out there and be a game breaker. And I think he's capable of being that.
You, in those prospects rankings, you had Sam Honzek ranked number 3. And in this market, there is a group of fans that pretty down on Honzek right now and maybe not feeling like he is trending in the right direction. I know for me, and we had a conversation last week about this, you know, I take a look at the raw skill and the frame that he's still growing into. I'm still optimistic about where Sam Honzek could go. But what were some of the reasons for optimism that had you rank Sam as the number 3 prospect in the Flames organization?
Well, I would say if I were doing it today after the second half that Sam had, I would likely land a smidge lower. I'd have to think on it and reevaluate, but I would guess, I would surmise that he's sort of 4, 5, 6 now. But in saying that, the reasons for optimism are the same that they've always been. He's a very well-rounded player. I think part of the disappointment that Flames fans have had has been, I think, probably a little bit overstated just because it doesn't properly understand the injury history that he's suffered through as a young player. It doesn't properly understand likely the age that he is and the level that he's playing at. Not a lot of kids 20, 21 years old who are playing pro hockey. I know it felt that way in the pandemic when there were so many kids playing in the AHL, but I always try to remind people that the production that we saw from 19, 20, 21-year-old kids in the AHL in the pandemic was also when taxi squads existed in the NHL, and the AHL was watered down because of how many top-end AHL players were being carried around on airplanes with NHL clubs to sit in the press box. So that's a big part of the conversation with Honzek. I think you always need to recenter it around his age and the fact that he's a young player and the fact that he's been through a couple of pretty serious injuries at an early stage in his career. But the other piece is that he's never been the sexy prospect. When he was drafted in the teens by the Calgary Flames, I had him in the late 20s and early 30s on my board that year. And that was the reason, was sort of, he was never going to be a high-end point producer. He was never going to be a PP1 guy. And I think fans expect that when you pick a player in the first round that they're going to be that for your organization. And I don't think that was ever a reasonable expectation for Sam. Sam's a very, very well-rounded player. He's got pro size. He thinks the game at a very high level. He can play with anybody. There are things, subtle things in Sam's game that will make him a valuable piece as a top 9 forward in the NHL still, I think. But he was always going to be more of a middle 6 guy than a top 6 guy, and maybe even just a third, a sort of good solid third line guy. And Those guys are still valuable. Those guys still make $4 or $5 million in the NHL. There's a lot of reason that you want that player to play and look like him in terms of bigger winger who can also play center. He's actually played all three forward positions for a good chunk of his young career already. Can penalty kill, can be relied upon to be a solid sort of two-way type at 5-on-5. There are some elements that you need to work with him on in terms of bringing out a little bit more offense, and you'd like to see him produce more and that kind of a thing. But I still think Honzik's a future NHL player for the Flames.
Scott, Flames fans were excited when Andrew Bascha fell to them in the draft last year. Calgary kid, playing in Medicine Hat, a good Tigers team. Unfortunately, an injury caused him to miss most of the season and a good chunk of the playoffs, but he's been able to get some games in here late with Medicine Hat and into the Memorial Cup. Are we seeing things on the upswing for Bascha in terms of where he lands in terms of Flames prospects?
Yeah, we are. And obviously one of the last young players playing. And as I mentioned off the top with Parekh, it can work against your summer. But I think with Bascha, as important as it's going to be for him to get fully healthy, and he's still not 100%. He was actually saying on the broadcast in French last night, they interviewed him on the French broadcast last night for the Memorial Cup. And he was sort of speaking candidly about how he's still the ankle and the leg still aren't fully back to 100%. He still hasn't had a proper amount of time to train and get them back, but he was at 50-60% for his entire draft year. And it's in a much better place after surgery now than it was. A very serious injury that he hobbled his way through his draft year and still had above a point per game draft season while playing on one leg. I remember speaking to him at the combine last year, and he was sort of open and honest with me about just the severity of it. And he wasn't trying to sort of gain pity points from teams per se, but he was just, I think he was pretty open with teams ahead of the draft last year that the Andrew Bascha that they saw was nowhere near the Andrew Bascha that they were going to see moving forward once he could get his ankle all sorted. And this year we've seen it in stretches, and he's been an impact guy for them through the Memorial Cup here. And another player where it doesn't always show up on the stat sheet, though he is very productive and is actually borderline more productive than a player like Sam Honzik was at the same age in junior. But he's just a heart and soul guy. They love him with Medicine Hat. You talk to Willie Desjardins or the staff there, his teammates there. I think he's at the nucleus of that locker room. I think people gravitate around him. He plays his tail off. And then on top of that, he's for a 5'10", 5'11 kid, he's really strong on pucks and scrappy out there. And I think if he makes it in the NHL, he's going to endear himself to Flames fans just because of the style of play that he plays. So a lot to like about Andrew. He's got to put the injuries behind him. You can only talk about injuries for so long. Eventually you got to start climbing the ranks and proving yourself. But I think he's prepared to do that.
We're chatting with Scott Wheeler of The Athletic, talking Flames prospects and now the 2025 NHL draft. Scott joining us here on Flames Talk on a Wednesday. So Scott, the Flames, we know, will draft 18th overall and somewhere between 29 and 32 overall with their two first-round picks. But maybe that first selection at 18th overall, what are we talking about? I mean, you go take a look at your top 10 Flames rankings. You take a look at what's in the system. There's no doubt that the deficit for the Flames right now is down the middle, and they desperately need some young center icemen. Whether it's center depth or just regardless, what are we talking about available in that number 18 range?
Well, it's really an interesting spot in the draft because it's kind of right on the shelf of the top group of players. I think there's a chance that there are one or two or three of that sort of top consensus group left when they pick, but there's also a chance they maybe just miss out on the guy that they want. There is a really core group of centers at the very top of this draft that are about seven or eight players who are all going to go in the top 10, 11, 12 picks. There are two or three, or depending on who you talk to, four defensemen who fit into that top group that will be gone. And then there are a couple of wingers sort of up and down the lineup, two-way competitive wingers who sort of fit into that top group in a player like Justin Carboneau, who actually has a lot of skill on the puck as well, or a player like Ethan Bear, who's dealing with an Achilles injury that in some ways is not dissimilar to what Andrew Bascha was dealing with a year ago, or Lyndon Lajkovic of the Moose Jaw Warriors. Those are kind of the three wingers that fit right into that next group. So it'll be interesting to see which of that group, whether it's one of those, that group of four defensemen, a player like a Cam Reed or a Logan Hensler. I would expect that one, if not both of those players will still be available if they're interested in picking another D. The Flames have picked a lot of offensively inclined D in the last three or four drafts though. And I would wonder whether they would target a player at all, like a Cam Reed, who's defends at a very high level, but is sort of another 5'11", 6 foot offensively inclined D of which they have right. a ton of in their system with the Flames. Hensler is a little bit different. He's a right shot. He's 6 foot three. He projects as more of a 5-on-5 two-way guy than a true sort of PP1 quarterback, though he has ran power plays at lower levels and runs a power play at Wisconsin. And then the centers, if you're talking strictly the centers, the premium guys will be gone, but I wonder about a couple of players in that next tier. The first one is Cole Reschne of the Victoria Royals. Cole is short in stature, but a very, very thick, strong kid. He's about 5'10 and a half, maybe 5'11 on a good day, but really, really strong over pucks. One of the best two-way players in this age group. And then on top of it, had almost 100 points in the regular season and had an MVP caliber two-round playoff run with the Victoria Royals, where he just dragged a team that had no business going to the second round of the WHL playoffs into a six-game series with a Spokane team that was absolutely loaded. So I'm a big, big fan of Reschne. I think there's maybe a small chance he's there. If you'd asked me whether Cole Reschne was going to be there at the midway point of this season, I would have said absolutely. He didn't have a great first half, and he's actually been open with me about that as well. But Reschne was one of the best players in junior hockey in the second half, and I do think he might sort of sniff that 15, 16, okay. 17 range right before they make their pick. And then the other one is Braden Coutts of the Seattle Thunderbirds. Another very well-rounded player, was the captain of Seattle this year. Rebuilding team, so his counting stats weren't as sexy as they would have been had he played somewhere else, but was still the leading scorer on that team, above a point per game, has been a big part of Hockey Canada and was a captain for Hockey Canada. So a lot to like about Coutts, but again, it feels to me like Coutts and Reschne are now going to be picked potentially right in front of where the Flames are picking, in which case they're kind of that second tier of centers behind that top group. And after them, I'm not sure I would feel comfortable taking a Ben Kindle of the Calgary Hitmen who played there, or a Jack Nesbitt of the Windsor Spitfires. Two players who are both listed at centers, but I could imagine end up as wingers in the NHL. So we'll see how it all plays out. But there should be hopefully one or two of that sort of that second tier of player after the top 10 should still be available.
Could you expand more on what you've seen from Ben Kindle? Obviously, the point totals popped out on a Hitman team that finally got back to the playoffs this year, and there's a lot of interest in this market about where he might end up and what he could look like at the NHL level, Scott.
Yeah, Ben's a really, really interesting story. I've written a big feature on him at The Athletic that released a couple of weeks ago, and he was a star sort of attacking midfield soccer player growing up. Both of his parents played for the Canadian national team on the men's and women's side. They both run soccer clubs. He could have played at least university level soccer and had a chance to sort of play at the national level and that kind of a thing, at least the junior national level, that kind of a thing, and then committed to play hockey. And you can sort of see some of the thinking of the game that happens in soccer. And that piece of it is a real sort of focal point of Ben's game. One of the more intelligent, sort of that cliche of hockey IQ, one of the more intelligent offensive thinkers of the game in this draft class. Obviously 99 points to be available in the 20s, which is where I think he'll get picked. Maybe the late teens, if he's lucky, to be available in the 20s as a player who put up 99 points in major juniors is pretty rare. And I think part of that is that he's a 5'10 kid who started on the wing as a 16-year-old and then successfully switched to center this year but probably ends up back as a 5'10 wing in the NHL and doesn't have a ton of sort of pace and giddy up to his game. He likes to slow the game down. Scouts want to see him play with more pace. He does work very hard and he's competitive and he'll win back pucks and he supports the play really well defensively. But with the puck, he tends to slow down instead of speed up. And I think, and that works for him at the junior level where he can just pick teams apart with his skill level and his hockey sense. But I think teams want to see him just play a little bit faster on the puck and make his decisions a little bit quicker than he does. And I think the coaching staff actually with Hockey Canada at the U18 Worlds wanted to see that a little bit, though they didn't say it in those kinds of specific terms. But a very, very talented, smart hockey player who, if he makes it, is going to make it as a power play guy and a point producer like that. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of player that he is. I'll have him as a bit of a teaser. I'll have him 21st on my list when it comes out on Monday, my final board. And that's kind of where I view him. So I think he'll quite likely still be around at 18 when they make that first pick, though maybe not with the second pick, although I don't think it's out of the question that he's there for the second pick in the late 20s. There are some teams who view him as a sort of very late first or even an early day two guy rather than a surefire first rounder.
Final specific guy to ask you about, Scott, and that's one of the more fascinating players in the drafts. In this year's draft, you talk to the people who know the draft like you and some of your colleagues do, and that's Ivan Ryabkin in Muskegon, who came over from Russia and then joined the USHL squad and put up some really impressive numbers for the rest of the regular season into the playoffs. Where are you on Ryabkin and how he potentially translates to the North American game, the NHL game, so on and so forth?
Well, Ivan is without a question the most difficult player in this entire draft class to slot. And there are a lot of difficult players. There's 3 5'7" forwards in this draft that I've had a really hard time with as well. But Ryabkin is a very mercurial player, prospect, kid. Even before this season, you were hearing things out of Russia, whether it was speaking with agents who are connected in Russia or that kind of a thing. You were hearing about how he was difficult to coach, how he wasn't well-liked by his teammates, how he was a bit of a pain to work with, bad habits, bad decision-making on the ice, bad penalties, all of those things, despite having a year ago that actually lined up with players like Matt Vanichkov and Ivan Demidov as for his age, as one of the most productive seasons in the history of the MHL. Then he comes into the MHL this year. He had a three-point debut in the MHL this year, got a quick promotion to the KHL, looked like he was going to be off and running as a top talent in this draft class, a rare natural center to come out of Russia where they produce so many wingers. And then it just sort of fell off the rails for him. He got sent back down to the MHL. The things that you were hearing coming into this season, you continued to hear in terms of discipline, decision-making, bad teammate, pouting, being unhappy. He stopped scoring. The points stopped coming. He ended up as a healthy scratch in the MHL, which is stunning for a player of his talent and pedigree. And then obviously eventually that led to him working out a deal with them to get out of his contract and to come over to here to North America and play in the USHL with Muskegon. Before he'd even got started in Muskegon, he got suspended for a slew foot. And then from there, he did really sort of put it together a little more consistently. He still took a ton of penalties and was a bit of a haywire player for that Muskegon team, but he was one of their most productive players. He was one of the most productive young players in the second half and into the playoffs in the MHL. He proved that he could play on a winning team. That Muskegon team won the USHL title. He was above a point per game again in the playoffs. Yeah. And he made some high-end, high-skill plays. He's a very, very talented player, and he is competitive. Like, he's got some FU to him. He's got some snarl to him. Sometimes he doesn't always channel it the right way, but it is in there. So I'll be fascinated to see what he does. He has no college commitment, so it's not like he's going USHL to NCAA. I think there's a very good chance that we see him in the CHL next year. And then we'll sort of go from there. But I'll be fascinated to see where he goes, because we're talking about a first-round talent, and I'm not convinced, based off the conversations I've had with folks, that any team is going to be willing to sort of stake their reputation on him in the first round.
Scott, that's awesome. A couple of reminders. First of all, you can get Scott Wheeler on the socials over on Twitter and more at Scott C. Wheeler. And Monday is when Scott's final rankings for the 2025 NHL draft are out at The Athletic. Scott Wheeler of The Athletic joining us here on Flames Talk on a Wednesday. Scott, I know you're busy. I know you got Madagascar to get back to. So appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. That was awesome. Really appreciate the time.
Cheers, fellas, anytime.
That is Scott Wheeler of The Athletic and joining us on this Wednesday on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.